Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamid Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins the third Perek of Maseches Tamid. You will find it on Daf Lamed, and it is quite recognizable as the beginning of a new Perek. At the end of the Mishnayos of the previous Perek, we learned that after they finished the setting up of the two Marochas on the top of the Mizbeach, the Marocha Gdol and the Marocha Shnia, the Kohanim then went and assembled in the Lishkas Hagozis. We are now anticipating the choosing of the Kohanim for the purpose of the Hakrovas Tomid Shel Shachar and other mourning activities. The Mishnah, Omar Lahen Hamemuna, the appointed one, the one in charge, said, Bo'u v'hafisu, let us now conduct a pious. And as we described in a previous year, pious is a method of determining who does what. So it's a method of choosing. And the literal, or the technical description of how the pious was done is found in Maseches Yuma. But for our purposes, it's sufficient to say, let us now conduct the method of choosing who is to do what. And what are the positions that are being chosen? Mi hashochet, who will slaughter the tamid shel shachar, the morning daily sacrifice. Umi hazorek, who will sprinkle the blood. Mi medashen mizbeach hapnimi, who will clear away the ash from the inner mizbeach that was used for the ketores, for the daily incense offering. Mi medashen es hamenorah, who will clean out the menorah, the wicks, the burnt wicks from the menorah that had been burning all night. Mi mala evorim lekevish, who will bring the limbs of the tamid shel shachar up onto the ramp in anticipation of their being burnt. The korban tamid shel shachar was a korban ola, which was completely burnt. Now there were six kohanim that were involved in this activity of bringing the limbs up to the mizbeach, limbs of the korban itself, and they are divided as follows: Harosh v'regel shel yamin, the one kohen would be carrying the head with the right hand leg. Leg is a reference to the hind leg of the animal. Another kohen, shtei hayodayim, the two front legs. A third kohen for this would be ha'oikitz v'horegel shel smol. The ha'oikitz is the tail, and the regel shel smol is the left hind leg. A fourth kohen, ha'choza v'hagera. The choza is the breast and the neck. Ushtei defanos, two sides, ha'kervayim and the innards. V'hasoilis v'chavitin v'hayayin. People, and there were kohanim for these things as well. The solas, the flour, and the chavitin was the kohen gadol's daily meal offering, v'hayayin, and the wine for nesachim. Hefisu. So the pious now took place, which was the method of choosing. Zocha mi shezocha, and he who won the position is going to do it. He who won. Omar Lahen Hamemuna, the appointed one, the one in charge, now said, Tsu'uru im higia zman shchita, go out and see if the time, if daybreak has arrived, which would constitute the time for slaughtering the daily tamid shel shachar. Im higia, if it arrived, haroya oimer, the one who is standing on an elevated location, we'll say standing on the roof, would say, he would proclaim bar koi. We've noted a little aleph over here. This is the first of two opinions of what happened. So according to this opinion, the first opinion, there was simply a proclamation
of the one standing on the roof would say bar koi. Bar koi is an expression meaning it is light. In other words, it's sufficient light that warrants the coming of the day. We're talking about a period of time before the actual sun rising above the horizon, an earlier time. But bar koi is an indication there's enough light in the horizon for doing the shechita of the tamid shel shachar. Masya ben Shmuel Omer. Now he has Masya ben Shmuel has a different approach in exactly how to explain this section of the Mishnah. There is a great deal of commentary, so we're going to be choosing one of the different approaches. So Masya ben Shmuel says that the one on the roof would say Heir Penei Kol Hamizrach. The whole eastern horizon is light. Then someone below on the ground would say, "Oh, it's light in the east." Ad shehu bechevron is the light. Is it so light that the light is reaching Chevron? Chevron was a town that was south of Yerushalayim. So is the light level so much so that the light is reaching also Chevron? The Hu Omer and the one on the roof would answer, if it's so, Hain, yes. And that's the time for the Shechita. According to this opinion, the namely of Masya ben Shmuel, that his interest is that the light level was such that it reached Hebron, this represented a later time period than the Tanakhama, than the first opinion. Omar Lahen, Tzu, Vehviu, Tle, Milishka, Satloim. So then, after the announcement was made that there's a sufficient light level for the slaughtering, it was then instructed, bring a sheep from the Lishka Satloim, the office containing the sheep. The Hare Lishkas Atloim Nesuna B'mitzoa Tzfoinis Marovis. The Lishkas Atloim, this compartment housing the sheep designated for the Tomet Shel Shachar, this Lishka was located in the northwestern corner of the base Hamokade. Arba Lishachos Hoyu Shom. There were four Lishachos in the Beis Hamokade. If you notice the diagram that accompanies our Masechta, you will notice where the Beis Hamokade is located. So within the Beis Hamokade, there were four Lishachos, four compartments, four chambers. Achas Lishkas Atloim. One was called the Lishkas Atloim, which we just made reference to, the chamber that housed the sheep for the sheep designer for the Korban Tomid, the Achas Lishkas HaChosomos, the Achas Lishkas Beis HaMokeid, the Achas Lishkas Sho'isen Bo Lechem Aponim. For our purposes, it's sufficient to note that there were four different Lishachos. What each one's purpose was is an additional detail. The Mishnah continues, Nifnesu Lishkas HaKelim. They then went into the chamber housing the different vessels. They removed from there 93 different vessels of silver and gold. Hishku esatomid bekois shel zohav. They gave the sheep that was now designated as the tomid shel shachar water to drink from a golden cup. And this was designed, or this was for facilitating the skinning that would take place afterwards. Afalpi shehu mevukar mibuerev, even though this sheep had been checked out to be mum free, to be blemish free already from beforehand. In fact, 4 days before it was to be slaughtered, it was already chosen and checked to be mum free. So even though it had already been checked previously, mevakrin osoi leor avukos, it was checked again now with the light of the torches. Namely, it was still dark outside, relatively speaking. There was light in the horizon, but there was still a need for checking it again with the light of the torches. Misha zocha b'dishon mizbeach. Before we actually continue with the text, there is a note, and this is found in the Shita Mekubetzes, that inserts at this point information or text that's found later. Now you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Mishnah text. If you go down the page, a little more than halfway down, you'll notice a corresponding arrow, and then you'll also notice a bracketed section. What we're going to do is read right now the bracketed section into this spot. So bear that in mind. We skip down. We're dealing with the Tomid Shel Shachar, with the animal, with the sheep designated for the daily Tomid offering. The Mishnah continues, Mi Shezocha B'Tomid, the one who was Zoche to slaughter the Tomid Shel Shachar, Moshchoi V'Hoylich L'Beves Amid Bochayim. He would draw the animal to the slaughter area. The slaughter area was positioned north of the Mizbeach. This was a Korban Oilah, it was Kotche Kotchim, and it needed to be slaughtered in the Tzafon, in the north. So the slaughtering area, the Beis HaMitzrayim, was north of the Mizbeach. Umisha Zochu Beivorim, those Kohanim who we referenced earlier that were Zocha, that won the right to deal with the limbs. Hulchen Imo, they would accompany the Kohen who was now drawing the animal to the slaughter site. And we mentioned this just a moment ago, that the slaughtering site was located north of the Mizbeach, north of the altar. The Olav, Shmoina Amudim Nanosim, on this site, there were positioned on the ground, located on the ground, eight pillars, low pillars, Revoim Shel Erez Al Gabeim, and there were blocks made of Erez. Erez is a type of wood, wooden blocks on these pillars. The Uklos Shel Barzel Hoyukvuyin Bohen, and there were hooks made of iron that were fastened into these wooden blocks. The Gimel Storim Lechol Echad Vechad. There were three sets of hooks in each one of these wooden blocks. Shebohen Toilin, the animal after it was slaughtered. The korban, after it was slaughtered, was then hung on these hooks. Umafshitin, they were skinned. Al shulchanos shulshayas shebein hamudim. There were tables made of marble that were located amongst these pillars, and the body of the animal was laid upon these tables so that it wouldn't drag on the ground, being something. That would have been a desecration of the sacrifice. So they provided, so these shulchanos were provided for in order to avoid that problem. At this point, this bracket section ends, indicating we now go back to the text, second line from the top. Mi shezocha b'dishon mizbeach hapnimi, Ubedishun Hamanora, those who had won the as a result of the pious had won the rights to do the cleaning of the inner mizbeach and the cleansing of the menorah of the candelabra, Hoyu Makadimin, they would go and check out to make sure that the vessels were prepared to they would go and prepare their vessels for their activity. The Dalid Kalim Biyodam. They had four vessels. Hateni, Vakuz, Ushnei Maftechos. The Mishnah itself explains Hateni, Doime Letirkav Shilzohov. The Teni was a receptacle that was like it would hold Tirkav. Tirkav is a vessel holding three kav, and it was made of gold. Machzik Kabayim Vachetzi. But in actuality, it would hold 2.5 kav. Vakuz doima lekiton godol shel zahav. The kuz was a vessel that looked like a large golden kiton, a type of receptacle. And ushtei maftechos, the two keys that were mentioned before. There were two keys, echod shu yored ba'amas hashechi, the echod shu poseach kivon. These two keys opened up two locks. One of them was accessible by extending your hand through a hole in the wall and reaching around in order to open the lock from the, we'll say, from the inside of the door. So you were standing on the outside of the door. You would have to reach in with your arm, and that's what is meant by the key that's yored ba'amas hashechi. Amas hashechi is a reference to one's arm. He would insert his arm through this hole and open up the gate. And we're we're now going to explain. The second key was Acha Echad Shehu Poser Kivan, was a key used to open a lock. Kivan means immediately or quickly, which means it was the key, the lock was facing you on the outside of the door. Now, we described the two keys. What are these keys? Where are these keys and locks found? Bolo lepishpe shatzfoni. We're dealing with an area that's we're dealing with the gate area leading into the Azara. This gate was in effect on the eastern entry, the eastern entrance to the Azara. So there were two small entranceways to either side of the Azara gate, one to the east and one to the north and one to the south. We must correct a big error we just made. We're talking about the gate opening into the Heichal, the enclosed area of the Beis Hamikdash, the area containing the Mizbeach Hazov and the Menorah and the Shulchan that we are now interested in getting to in order to clean them out. That is the Mizbeach and the Menorah. So we're dealing with the entrance way. The main entrance way to the Heichal was positioned on the eastern part of the Heichal, and to either side of the main gate there were two small entrance ways, and they were called Pishpishim, one to the north and one to the south. So we continue with that in mind. Bolo lepishbe shatzfoni. He arrives at the small entrance, the small opening to the north of the eastern gate, entering the Heichal. He's now, right now, he's on the outside. He hasn't entered the Heichal yet. Shnei pishpishim hoyu lo l'shar ha-godol. Achas b'tzofon v'achas b'dorom. This we read before. There were two small entranceways to either side of the main gate, one to the north and one to the south. She b'dorom lo nichnas bo odo me'olam. The southern pishpish, small entranceway to the southern side of the main gate, no human being ever entered through that. V'olov hu mefurash ayadei Yecheskel. The prophet Yecheskel mentions this southern pishpesh in the following pasuk shenemar, as it says, "Vayomer Eli Hashem, Hashar Hazeh Sogur Yeh. This gate will remain closed. Lo Yiftach, it won't be opened. V'ish Al Yovo Bo, no man shall enter there. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bo V'Hoyo Sogur. It's a gate, so to speak, for the Almighty, and therefore it shall remain closed. Notal Esamafteach U'Pasach Es Pishpesh. The Kohen took his key, opened up this small entrance way, and now but one has to bear in mind that the wall surrounding the Heichal wall was very thick, so that when he would open this passageway, he didn't go immediately into the Heichal. It's the Mishnah says v'nichnas lehato. He would then enter a chamber u'mehato laHeichal, and from the chamber he would then enter the Heichal. There was, as we said, it was a very thick wall, so the extent that there were chambers that were built into the thickness of the wall. So upon opening the gate of the Pishpesh, he would enter the chamber, and then from the chamber, he would enter the Heichal. Ad shemagia l'shar ha-godol. So then once he was in the Heichal itself, he then would turn to the main gate. He gives a shar ha-godol. And now he's inside the Heichal, facing the main gate from inside. Hevir es hanagar. He would remove the neger. The neger is a door bolt or beam that keeps a door shut. Ves ha posachos. And he would open the. He would remove this bolt and the locks, uposcho, and open it. Lo hoyo shochet hashochet, the slaughterer would not slaughter ad sheshomea shar godol shiniftach. He would not commence with the slaughtering until he would hear the opening of the main gate of the Heichal. At this point, there is a series of comments made concerning Yericho. Yericho was a town at the eastern edge of Eretz Yisrael, and from Yerushalayim to Yericho there was a significant distance, and the Mishnah has a list of phenomena that were perceived in Yericho having let's see, perceiving phenomena that took place in Yerushalayim while in Yericho, while standing in Yericho. The Mishnah explains, Yericho hayushomim kol shar godol shiniftach. From Yericho, they were able to hear the opening of the gate of the Heichal. It stands to reason that one can bring into question the literal meaning of what we're learning right now, but there is certainly a much deeper level of understanding that one must investigate in order to fully appreciate that which the Mishnah is teaching. However, as far as our approach to, in the context of our Gemara markings here, we're going to proceed with the Mishnah, translating and creating a literal impression, but we are just pointing out that in order to fully appreciate this, there's another dimension of understanding. So the Mishnah goes on to say, Miyericho hoyashomin kol magrefa. While standing in Yericho, one could hear the sound of the magrefa. The magrefa was an instrument used in the Beis HaMikdash, a musical instrument that produced many different sounds, as the Gemara describes in Maseches Erechin. Furthermore, Miyericho hayushomim kol ben arzo makish batzaltzal. Tzaltzal is another one of the instruments used in the Beis HaMikdash services. While in Yericho, you could hear the tzaltzal being played. Miyericho hayushomim kol hachalil. The cholil is another musical instrument, and so from Yericho they could hear the cholil played in the Beis HaMikdash. Miyericho hayushomim kol gvini kruz. While in Yericho, they could hear the voice of Gvini Cruz, who would proclaim every morning. He was a type of crier who would say, announce to the Kohanim, "Get up in the morning for your service." Miyericho hoyu shomim kol hoetz also ben kotin muchni lekior. We've learned about this pulley system before on a previous daf and it says here that. While in Yericho, you could hear the pulley raising the kior, the tank holding the water in the Azorah, which was kept submerged underground throughout the night, and in the morning it was raised through a pulley system, and that could be heard in while in Yericho. Miyericho hayushomim koil hashir. In Yericho, they could hear the sound of the shir. We're talking about the Levium who would sing during the offering of korbanos. Miyericho hoyu hayashomea kol hashofar, and while in Yericho, one could hear the shofar that was played or blasted every day in the Beis HaMikdash. V'yeshomrim af kolol shel kohen gadol b'shal shuhu maskir es Hashem b'yom HaKippurim. Another opinion says that one could hear in Yericho the sound of the voice of the kohen gadol proclaiming the ineffable name of the Almighty on Yom Kippur. Miyericho hayu marichin reach pitum haktoras. And in Yericho, they could smell the fragrance of the incense that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Digloi, Izim hoyu la'avo ve'orei ha'machvor. Rabbi Elazar tells us that his father had goats in this area called the Orei ha'machvor, the cities of Machvor, ve'hoyu mis'achos me'reach pitum haktoras, and they would sneeze upon perceiving the smell from the incense offered in the Beis HaMikdash. And we now have this bracketed section we learned earlier, so we skip down further to the end of the bracketed section. Mi shezocha b'dishon mizbeach ha'pnimi, he who was chosen for the cleaning of the ash from the inner altar, nichnas, he would enter, v'notalus ha'teni, he would take his receptacle, the teni receptacle, v'hinichoy lefonav, he would put it on the floor, v'hoya choyfein, he would take a chafino as a double handful, if one clasps his hands together, that is called a chafina. He would take a double handful, cup his hands together, fill it with ash from the top of the mizbech, the nosein letocho, and he would repeat this enough times to clear away most of the ash, while placing the ash into the teni receptacle, ubachrona, when he reached the end, when there was very little ash left, so little so that he wouldn't be able to scoop it up with his chafino, with his hands full, kibed es hashar l'soch, he would sweep, using a little type of brush or broom, to sweep it into the basket, into the teni receptacle. V'nicho, and he would leave it, the teni receptacle, on the floor, full of ash. V'yotza, and he would leave, this Kohen would now leave the Heichal, leaving the teni behind for the meantime. Now we turn to the next Kohen, Misha Zocha B'dishon HaMenorah, he who was chosen for the cleansing of the menorah, Nichnas U'motza Shnei Neros Ma'arovius Dolkin, he would find the two western candles. There's a great deal of discussion in the Gemara itself, in Maseches Menachos, about which candles were still burning regarding the menorah. We're not going to get into those details. Simply continue with the Mishnah on its literal basis. He would find two western candles burning, and they were burning through the night. Medashen es hashar, he would clean out the other candles. Umeniach es elu dolken, leaving these two still burning, b'makoman, in their place. Motzon shekavu, if upon entering the heichal he found that the two marovios were extinguished, medashen, he would remove the charcoal from the tips of the wicks, umaglikon min adolkin, and he would light them from using the fire from the other candles that may still be burning, and if not, the Meforshim say he would bring the fire from the Mizbeach to make sure these two were lit while he was doing the cleaning of the other candles. V'achakach medashen es hashar, after he took care of these two western candles to make sure they were still burning, he would then clean out the wicks and the oil from that which remained of the other five candles. It's explained in the Gemara elsewhere that the two candles would be dealt with later on, after the Zrikas Adam of the Tamid Shel Shachar. And there are more opinions on that, but we're not going to deal with those details now. The Eben Hoysa Lifnei HaMenorah, there was a stone in front of the menorah, Uba Shalosh Malos, there were three stairs in this block of stone. It was a block of stone that had three stairs carved into it. Shaleh Kohen Oimed, the Kohen would stand on the top of this stone, Umeitiv Esaneros. You see, the menorah itself was 18 tfochim in height. It had a 18 hand breadths of height, so that in order to, for a person of average height to be able to do a thorough cleaning, he needed to stand on an elevated surface, and that's what this stone represents. So he stood on the stone and cleaned out the neros, umeniach es hakuz al malo shenio, shnio v'yotza. The kuz is the receptacle that would hold the residue material from the candles. He would place it into this kuz and leave the kuz vessel on the second stair, and the Kohen would now leave the Heichal. That completes the third perek of Maseches Tamid, and with that we conclude our shiur for today.